Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, taking suggestions for episodes throughout the month of August, $2.99 per month. Communicate with Heat fans and us all day long. We'll be on there a lot more going forward as well, leading you all the way up to training camp. Link is right here in the description. Also, check out Prize Picks. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. They got a great new promotion there. If you use that code, you put down $5, you get $50 to play right away. This is with the code 5, F-I-V-E. Legal in the state of Florida, our official fantasy partner. Get in there for the preseason games and the NFL games as they get rolling here. Again, prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne.
Yikes.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. Check out other episodes. I don't know if this one's posted yet, but Alex and I had some fun talking about Joe Cronin. So check that out. We wrote it on our Moleskine notebooks. Also, Greg and I did a recent episode about whether or not it's still winning or misery for the Miami Heat. But we'll see how much winning the Heat do this season. And so the schedule is out. This is always kind of a silly exercise to some degree. I say this with the NFL schedule as well. You know which teams the Heat are playing. You just don't know when. I mean, so but we're going to try to set this up as best we can. There is, I guess, some mystery in the fact that some East teams you play three times and some you play four times. So, for instance, they only play the Knicks three times. There's some other teams like that. The other thing that I guess is of some interest is how many national TV games you get, because it tells you what the public thinks of you, or at least the media engines think of you. And the Heat have zero of the ABC games, do not have a Christmas Day game, only have a couple of TNT games, right, I think. So obviously people are not expecting them to be particularly compelling. Not a lot of change from last year. They were a play-in team. They did get a Christmas Day game last year, though, so they didn't get one this year. We knew that coming in. But again, it doesn't feel like the respect is really there for them. They don't really care about that much. And we know that basically ESPN is just going to talk about the Warriors and the Lakers, and pretty much this year, probably just the Lakers 24/7 with a little Celtics thrown in. But Brady, one of the things we do get into is kind of the ebb and flow of the schedule and sort of where your team is at certain points when they play certain teams. And the biggest things that jump out to me, and I want to get your thoughts on these. The first thing is, they better get off to a good start, because in their first five games, they get Washington, Detroit, and Charlotte. If they start dropping those games early, Heat fans are going to panic. And the reason they should panic is because after that, it gets brutal quickly. So, I mean, we'll get to the later stretch of the schedule and why most of the Heat fans that were on playback with us thought the schedule was actually fairly favorable. But this start is not. So after those first five games, which are, on paper, a little easier, they have a road trip, Phoenix, Denver, Minnesota, before a game in Detroit, and then two in Indiana. And the reason that this is significant to me is that you have a team that is coming back with most of the same players, but some young players that are interesting, right? And then you're expecting development from some guys. But with the Jimmy Butler contract thing hanging over everybody's head, like, if they get off to a bad start, it could determine the direction that they go with that and sort of the general mood around the team very early in the season. And so, like, they have to get off to a good start before that road trip, because that could be a 1-5 trip. I mean, I don't want to panic people, but just look at the teams on that schedule. It could be a 1-5 trip. And so we'll get to the rest of this in a second, but I think the start matters for them.
It's funny because last year the schedule was like really tough to start it off. Like, they got Boston and Milwaukee in the first couple of games. So it was kind of the opposite, where it was just kind of like a test in a lot of ways. And they had injuries to start the season. And we saw what that test kind of landed them. this year, I agree. Like, they need to kind of get off to a hot start. I feel like the Magic, they just always have to start the season with the Magic. It just, that just like feels like a foregone conclusion. But you're right. I mean, you come off, you're playing Charlotte and Detroit, a big home game, obviously, against the Knicks early in the season to end October. And the Washington game, I believe, is the Mexico City game. So that's obviously a different environment to play in. But you're right. I will say, like, the Denver, Phoenix, Minnesota road trip almost worries me less than the Washington, Detroit type mm-hmm. games. Like, those are the games where you worry if they're going to get up for. The road trip is like, it just is what it is. It feels like, you know, kind of what you're going to get in that type of. Denver is always going to be a tough environment. That's going to be an extremely tough game. You got to try to steal the ones in Phoenix. They played in the Jimmy era. They've had some decent games in Phoenix. Like, they played decently well there. And the Minnesota game, it feels like you're going to probably get an engaged Jimmy to start the season. And then you obviously get some of the playing games. You mentioned the in Detroit, in Indiana, or the in-season tournament games. I mean, so you have some interesting games on the schedule, but you're right. November is a tough month. November is a tough stretch all the way through. And I know you said we'll get to the thing that jumped out to me probably more than anything is there's a lot of road games in the first half of this season. In the back half, you get like, I think in March and April, you get like 16 of 24 mm-hmm. home games. So it's a lot of home games on the back stretch. And I don't know how much that matters. They didn't play extremely well at home last year anyway. But a lot of road games early in the season. There's a tough little road trip. There's another tough road trip, the West Coast trip you were talking about before we started in January. You play Sacramento, Golden State, Utah, Portland, Clippers, Lakers. That's kind of your little road trip in January that they always end up going on. So January is another little tough month, but you're right. The October starting off, you have to really take care of business. I was looking at the first 10 games and kind of said, maybe 6-4. I mean, 5-5, 6-4, 7-3 is kind of where you're looking at. Best case, 7-3. Low end is like, okay, you take care of business. It ends up in a 5-5 because the road trip gives you troubles. But 6-4 feels kind of right to me. I don't know. I think that some of these games are like the Magic game to start the season. They're like a really good team. But I think Miami can, you know, in an opener game at home, should be able to do some things. The swing game is like just looking at some of these games, like Sacramento at home.
Yeah.
DeRozan gives them trouble at home. Like DeRozan always gives them. So like, you know, like there's like some tricky games in the mix. So 6-4 to me over the first 10, kind of where I'm landing right now.
Yeah, I could see something like that. And again, if they're not, I think there will be some concerns. But I look at the schedules it sets up. You mentioned the home games, and we know that Spo tends to be a March coach. Like, we've spoken about that before. I'm looking at the end of February. Okay, they have first thing a couple other dates that stick out. The trade deadline is February 6th. It comes a day after they're in Philadelphia. On a road trip that also includes San Antonio and Chicago. That might be a time that Heat fans are panicking for a move. So just keep that one in mind. And then
they play Boston right after that, by the way, right after that trade deadline, that Monday, I believe.
They do, exactly. So that's a time frame to look at. Then you also look here, there's the break for All-Star, which I believe is in LA this year. They got the road trip. They have that Boston game, and then they go at OKC, at Dallas, into the All-Star break. That's not easy going into the All-Star break, and that may determine sort of how they feel about themselves going into the All-Star break. Then they come out of it with a three-game trip, Toronto, Milwaukee, Atlanta, but then the home games start. So February 26th, Atlanta, Indiana at home, New York at home, Washington at home, then a quick trip to Cleveland, then Minnesota at home, Chicago at home, Charlotte at home, Clippers at home, Boston at home. I mean, that is like, and I think, again, we look at the ebb and flow of the season and we're like, okay, what will Heat fans be thinking? Well, if they don't win those games against the bad teams early in the season, those first five, there's going to be a, oh my God, does our team suck type thing from Heat fans, right? Like, that's where we're going to head to. Okay. Then you're right. They probably will win a couple games on the road. They're not expected to win because they do that kind of thing. And they were better on. Well, they were the same on the road as they were at home last year, which shouldn't be the case. But then there's also, again, coming out of the trade deadline, going into the All-Star break. And then there's going to be this thing where it could be where if they've struggled a little, but they're kind of treading water like they have. There could be this thing where, let's say, they don't make a trade at the deadline. They're kind of like, if we just get everybody healthy, we got this string of home games coming up late February into March, right? Like, I mean, we can see where this is going. So that's kind of how I look at schedules. Again, in the NBA, unlike the NFL, you kind of know which teams are going to be good. We assume Charlotte on March 23rd at home is not going to be the most challenging game on paper. You can't really do that in the NFL. In the NFL, everything kind of changes year to year. But the other game I looked at that may play into this is they close the season with Washington at home. And that just feels to me like a game that Miami's going to need to stay out of the play in, right? And then it's like, are the Wizards laying down because they're trying to get a higher pick? I don't even know if they have their pick this year, but we're assuming the Wizards are going to be in lottery territory. So those are the kind of games that I look at. I will say overall, it doesn't look too brutal to me. I was a little surprised at how many long trips and homestands they have. There aren't as many like one up and backs. The other thing that there's not as much of is these two game sets. Where you have a home and home or a home and home, in other words, both in the same market. They got some home and homes like a home and road, like they have at Atlanta February 24th and then Atlanta at home a couple days after that. But I don't see as many of these. The other team stays in Miami for three nights and plays two games. Like there've been a few of those the past couple of years, and actually those tend to benefit Miami in the second game because the team is in Miami for that long, right? Which is not the best place for some of these guys to be. I don't see as many of those this year. I also don't see as many back-to-backs. Was there a stretch that looked particularly grueling to you? Because some of this is hard to read because there's going to be some of those Vegas games scheduled, the in-season tournament game scheduled, and there's a block of time set for that. But I don't see a stretch where I'm like, this is going to be really physically grueling, with the exception of, I guess, the five-game road trip and the six-game road trip.
The first 2 weeks of March, though, I will say, like you were going through all the home games, there's like three back-to-backs, I believe, in that two-week span of March. But they are home games, so like I guess that factors into this. But there are three back-to-backs across like what that 14-day period. So that's something to look out for. Also, I was looking at Boston. They play Boston like very spread out. Like they play one early December, because obviously we always have to look at the Boston matchups. Early December, mid-February. I think there's one March, one April, I believe. So it's very spread out across the board there. Like last year, there was like a lot of those like top of the East teams they played like back-to-back. So it feels like more spread out there in that realm. But I do agree. Like November is where I it's going to come down to. Like that's going to be the decision of what they do in February, what you're talking about at the trade deadline. Like what fans are thinking about this team heading around that time. Like we'll know heading into December where they're going to land. Like this isn't going to be one of those late type of blooming runs. Like it could be, you could go on a run with those home games in March, as you said, like where that's like that's the trade deadline move is more home games and they can make a push out of the play-in or something. But like if they could steal some games in November somehow, like and go on a run where what we were talking about in a Jimmy contract year, if he's a little bit more into the things offensively and playing more games early in the season, or they're just healthier than they were last season. Maybe they're a little bit stronger in the early months of the season and they can get that stuff done. Because that changes things. Like that changes a lot. If then you could head into later in the season where things start to ease up a little bit with the home games, and obviously you don't know where you'll end up landing. But I always hate looking at schedules like this, though, and we try to predict wins and losses, because also we never know what any of these other teams are going to look like in a couple of months. Like anything can shift. Anything can change. Guys could get traded. Guys could get injured. Like we really have no idea. But it is, this schedule doesn't stand out. Like last year, I felt like there was like some things that stood out in terms of like things being jumbled together, as you said, with back-to-backs or things like that. This doesn't feel like anything's really popping in a negative manner. It just feels like one of those things that you're looking at this schedule and you're saying in the back of your head, there's some parity in the NBA. Like any of these games could be a loss. Any of these games could be a win. This isn't one of those things anymore where you could just predict. Like it's kind of anybody's game, and that's why it is such a focus on Miami and what they're going to do, because we don't know what it could look like. They could be bottom of the play-in, or they could be, you know, 5 or 6 seed, like if they can win the right games and take care of business against some of these teams. So it's like it really is an unpredictable type of season this upcoming season.
Well, the other thing to consider here, and after the spot, we'll get to some of the things that Rob Wilson sent about the schedule specifically. He does a great job with this, the Heat media relations staff, and he just I just got the email here, so we'll read you some of this. But what's interesting, you mentioned about the parity. There are some really bad teams in the East, and there is a player that people may tank for this year, similar to 2 years ago with Wemby. So. Like those Charlotte, Washington, Detroit games, like you need to get those like that, especially the ones later in the season when those teams are like legitimately tanking, because they're going to be tanking for Cooper Flagg, like a lot of these teams. And I it is similar. This is a very strong draft, supposedly, as opposed to the one we just had. So you are going to have teams that are packing it in just like they did for Wemby. Miami can't blow those games. That is critical no matter what time of the season they are. All right, we're going to tell you about our friend Lynette. You can find her at insurancebylynette.com. Life insurance, car insurance, renter's insurance, homeowner's insurance. She can handle all of it from her office in Lauderhill, services the entire Tri-County area. Huge Miami Heat fan. You can find her on our Discord, Off the Floor, also on Playback, A Aggressive Insurance Agency, 954-581-8800. And that's 954-581-8800. Insurancebylynette.com. Two N's, two T's. The insurance agency that works for you. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FiveFloor, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, I'll read you this because this is a Rob Wilson special here. He tends to wrap these things up pretty well. And I was right, by the way, about the back-to-back thing. So we'll get, not the back-to-back, but the home-and-home thing. The Heat will play 36 of the 80 currently scheduled games on weekends, Friday through Sunday. Of those weekend games, 17 will be played in Miami. The Heat like those games. They get better attendance to those games. Also, Friday and Saturday games are later. Which gives people an opportunity to actually go because it's kind of like the pre-party before everybody goes out. So of those weekend games, 17 were played in Miami, 7 on Friday, 4 on Saturday, and 6 on Sunday. Among those 17 weekend home games, we have a pair of afternoon games against San Antonio. I guess that's home and home. One in San Antonio, January 19th at 3 o'clock. See Wemby in the afternoon. That might end up being kids' day. And the regular season finale against Washington. So a 1 o'clock game on the season finale. Oh, that's different, I guess, right? It was 1 o'clock last year, right?
I think every team plays at one on the last game, right. So then you can't really know what's going on with the standings.
Well, 1 and 3:30, right? I think it's 1 and then 3:30 for the West games, mm-hmm. from what I recall from last year. The Heat's longest homestands this season will be a pair of 5-game stretches, and they're both in March. I mentioned that. It's actually 10 out of 11. March 7th to 14th and March 19th to 27th. Miami's longest road trips will be a pair of 6-game trips, November 6th to 17th. We talked about that one. And then the January 6th to 15th. That's the one that ends with 2 games in L.A. Thank God the league is finally putting these L.A. games back-to-back. For years, they didn't do that. It'd be on 2 separate trips, although the Heat have 3 trips to New York this year, 2 games against the Nets, 1 against the Knicks. They did not combine those two this year, but they did for Los Angeles. March is once again the month the Heat will play the most times, tipping off 17 times. Additionally, Miami will play 15 back-to-backs. That's not outrageous. during the big three era, well, during the COVID year, they had like back to back to backs, but they had like 21 back to backs that year or something. Like, they don't have as many this year. And faced the same opponent in consecutive games on three occasions. The Pacers, that's the 15th and 17th, those are on the road. So the Heat will go up there for two. The Raptors, the 29th and December 1st, and the Hawks, February 24th and 26th. And I believe both of those are home roads. So I don't think we're getting any of those where the team stays in Miami for 3 days, basically, to play two games. And I know the Heat like those because there tends to be a little South Beach flu by the end of that stuff. But not as many of those this year. They cut back on some of that. Before we go, Brady, any last takeaways?
I was just thinking, because I was going to ask you your thoughts on how do you think they're going to view the in-season tournament this season? Like, how are they going to approach it? Because I'm looking at it. They play in Detroit, which they should take care of business. Then right after, they play in Indiana, which we know that team's going to – they're going to play for that in-season tournament. Like, that's a team that's going to play for it. They play at home against Milwaukee for the third – in November 26th for the third in-season tournament game, and then at home against Toronto. So two of those games are extremely winnable, and the other two is a home game against Milwaukee and a road game against Indiana. I just wonder – like how they're going to view those games. Because last season, a lot of those games were just the injuries played into it and all that stuff. I'm curious to see how that goes. But my main takeaway continues to just, I keep looking at that March stretch. And the way you phrased it, it definitely felt like it's very possible that like right after the trade deadline, we're going to hear a lot about like the last stretch is where we're going to kind of, they're going to do their damage. You're going to have Jimmy ramp up. They're going to be healthier. They're going to have 16 of 24 home games, and they have just a much easier stretch down the end, and they can make their standings push. Like, it feels like it's very possible, but the only way that stance is not going to like really anger the fan base is if they do take care of business, is what we were talking about. Like, first five or six games of the season, you have a winnable record. You win a couple of those games you shouldn't win on the road in November. All the way down the line, like you win a couple on that West Coast trip in January. Like if you do some of that stuff and show that you can win tough games, and that's the key here. Like as much as we're talking about them beating, like and worrying about the Washingtons and Detroits of the world, they need to beat good teams. Like they just have to. Like last year there was no trust in this team when the fact that they could not beat the top teams in the West or the top teams in the East, and they kept falling to them, injuries or not. They have to show up for those big games because those are the ones that gives the team and that locker room a whole much more confidence. And it puts a little bit of worry in those other teams. Like if you're in the regular season, as much as you say it's not the playoffs yet, if you put that in the back of their head of teams like Milwaukee or Philly or Boston, that Miami, could they do it again? Like could they do the thing where they just start turning up late in the season or into the playoffs? You have to put that fear because there was no fear last season. So they have to win those big games all the way through. And some of those games we're looking at, those home games late in the season, like that Boston, March 14th at home in the first end of a back-to-back. They go to New York toward the end of March. They play Boston again in early April, April 2nd in Boston. Like a couple of those games, they're going to have to steal a couple of those just for a confidence factor.
No, I'm with you. And so much of this and so much of what we talk about going forward is going to be about Jimmy. That's just where it's at. We can talk about the young players and the excitement over them, but if they're making any kind of a push this year, they need the best version of him. That's really it. And we talked about it early in the season last year where they had Milwaukee and Boston in the first week, right? And he didn't play particularly well in either of those games. They dropped both of those games. They had a chance to win one of them. And that kind of set the tone for the season. So this is, and then there's going to have to be a discussion. Okay. If he's going to sit certain games, like which games can we afford him to sit? which games are we basically throwing away to a certain degree? Although they played okay without him last year, but they need him to beat the best teams. They need him to be at his highest level. And I think when they get this schedule, they will plot it out a little bit. Okay. It's not going to be totally dependent on this, but they'll plot it out and say, okay, where do we need certain guys to be peaking? I just think as you look at this, that because of where fan sentiment is right now, and not all fans, but some of the Twitter sphere and other places like that, like get the Washington game, get the Charlotte game, get the Detroit game in the first five games of the season, or else this is going to be a bleep show that we're going to be dealing with. So I don't really want to deal with that. All right. Thanks to Brady. Again, check out the other episodes. We'll have more for you guys coming up next week. Tire schedules at heat.com/schedule. We've got a lot of it on our off the floor too, breaking it down. Start to get your tickets and all that kind of stuff. We'll have some ticket deals for you guys too. We're going to partner up with some companies this year to make it easier for you guys to get them on the secondary market. So we'll let you know about that as well. Have a good day, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.